Welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn, and we are looking live, ladies and gentlemen. Usually when I'm at a golf place, I try to have my golf voice, but I don't think it's that kind of spot. It's like there's a party going on out here at Golffinity. So come out here, join us. We'll be out here all throughout the day. We'll tell you about this fantastic spot. We'll give you some details about it, tell you why you should come on out here. But of course, all throughout the show, we'll be breaking it down for you. Tom Brady and Giselle, apparently they have called it quits, and it is official. We'll get into that. We'll break down Tom Brady's loss last night, a historic one for him, to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. We'll also get into a lot of NFL news, notes, and nuggets from around the league. Cowboys got a big game coming up versus the Bears. We'll break that down. We'll talk to some Texans as well. We'll also get into the NFL trade deadline that's looming. The World Series, Go Stros, starts tonight. We'll get into that, break that down next segment as well. Give you our predictions as well. I think my man Harge is going to give his predictions today, so we'll get into that coming up. We've got very special guests all throughout the show to help you get a little bit better acquainted with this spot that we're at right now, Golffinity. But in the meantime, let's introduce you to the rest of the crew. He was a second-round pick for the Montreal Expos, but a first-round pick for the Austin Radio Network. He originally committed to the University of Texas, but decided to forego the 40 and chase his dream and the cheese. Pimping ain't easy, but for him, it's a breeze. He is the Mike Hardball Harge. What's going on, my man? How you doing?
Man, you talking about it. I'm excited about it. You talked about the World Series that's jumping off tonight. This is the time of year where everybody starts to lose their mind. We're deep in football.
Ooh, yeah.
Baseball is trying to crown their champion. Mm-hmm. Hockey is jumping off. We got the Austin FC in the playoffs, the semifinals, trying to figure out if we're going to have a game here next week. And then we get to come out to golf. Infinity.
That's right, baby.
Let me tell you about this place. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to wait a little bit. But I know one thing. You need to get out here. If you're a golfer, if you're not a golfer, if you want to come out and have some drinks, if you want to come out and check people out, this is the place to be. But let me tell you about my man sitting next to me because, you know, H-Town is where it goes down, and he is part of that. He hails from H-Town with the get down. He's a lifetime Longhorn and a proud card-carrying member of DBU. Legendary Longhorn Derek Johnson said he was the best cover corner he had ever seen. He's a former NFL DB that still has that passion for film study, but he's not a fan of white condiments. But he is a fan of you, the listeners. He is my man and yours, Rod Bakers.
All right, since we're on the road, of course, my man Patrick always holding it down at the ARN compound. So show him some love. He's the real MVP, the idealionaire. Also, the one that came up with 512 Fridays. And it's 512 Friday as well. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. But, Harge, you were telling me about this place a long time ago. So I don't know if this is close to your neck of the woods, but you're a golf man.
Yeah, yeah.
Even before we got a chance to become partners here with Golffinity, you were telling me about how much you like this place and how it was somewhere even a guy like Rod B, who is – I don't know. I'm not even a novice. All right. I'm just Tiger Hood. You're right. I get invited to play a lot of golf, and I'm really bad at it. But you say, man, you got to get out there. It's a really cool spot. Now I'm looking at it, and I'm a believer.
I've
been here for 10 minutes. I'm already a believer. It's legit.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of ironic how this all came about because I have been driving by here, seeing it on the on the right hand side, seeing it on the left hand side, depending on which direction you're going. And I had a friend of mine who's a physician. He had come up here, and he wanted to get fitted for some new clubs. And he told me about it. He said, man, I just went and got fitted for these new clubs from PXG.
So you can do that here, too.
You can do all of that here. And he was like, I left my club at this place. Can you pick it up for me? Because I know you live north. And I was like, it's a golfing place. It's indoors. Hell yeah, I'll go pick it up for you. So when I walked into this door, I got a chance to look around. This is a beautiful 20,000 square foot facility that is two stories. So I came in and I was like, hey, I need to check out, my buddy left his golf club here. But while I'm here, can I walk around and check it all out? They were like, yeah, go check it out. Bro, man. I walked around this place and I was like, this is a place that Rod B would love to come and hang out. This is a place that Hardball would come and hang out. This is a place that all my friends would want to come and hang out because you could come in here and get some work in.
Come
But you can also watch the game. You can come in here and hang out with your friends. You can get some drinks. You can get some food. If you are, like you said, not even a novice, not even somebody that likes to go play golf all the time, but you're like, ah, my buddies do it. Let's go hang out. This is the perfect place for you. They got a great staff, good group of people. And like I said, it's 20,000 square foot facility.
I got here earlier. I probably got here around 250 or something like that. And I figured I knew where I was going. I was like, man, I'll find him. I got here early enough. I can walk around.
Right.
I had to call you.
Yeah, you did. You was like,
been walking around for
where
like
y'all
five
at?
Minutes. Where are y'all at? I've been walking around, freaking people out, looking.
They're like, who's this guy?
Who is this
he doesn't even have clubs with him.
Man, I was walking around. So, to Harge's point, it is huge, man. It's it's a huge facility. I love the setup, though. Like I said, they got the bar set up here, too. And you say they got food.
They got food, too. All right.
Yeah. All right. We always got to test that food out.
And as we go through the through the afternoon, we'll get a chance to talk to the CEO and founder, Aaron Bergman. He's going to get a chance to talk to us a little bit about this facility, how he came up with the concept. And then we've also got some special guests throughout the day, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man.
Yeah. No, it is cool. So it's a great spot. We'll give you some more details about it. But the exact address, if you want it, is 12332 FM 620 North.
If you see Bush's Chicken, it's right behind that. That way you can know.
The Horn Van is right out there, too.
The Horn Van is sitting out there in front.
The Horn Van helped me out a lot, too. The Horn Van is right out there where you need to make the turn. All right, so we'll get to some more details about this great place that we're out at. We'll be out here till 6:30 throughout the rest of the show. But do yourself a favor if you're in the neighborhood or just mark it down as a place.
Put it on your to-do list.
Yeah, as a must-visit place for you and your boys. Or the ladies, too. All right.
Sorry about that. I seen the ladies up in here.
Exactly.
I seen the ladies.
Sexist there, you know? No. We all equal opportunity. Love the ladies, so yeah. No matter who you are, but if you love golf or want to get into it, and you ain't really got to get into it, if your circle of friends likes golf,
exactly,
you can hang out here. And
this is the place where they can say, "Hey, you know what? You don't have to play all 18. Let's go in here and swing it and try to judge each other."
Boom.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's me.
That's right.
That's me. So
hey, they
going out to the golf course. Can we just go to Golf Finity for about an hour and a half and just kick it?
Yeah, they've been asking me the whole time. They've been like, "Hey, you think we can get Rod to swing it?" I was like, "Yeah, you could probably get him to swing it. I don't know how much he really wants to get into it."
Man, with them shoulder surgeries, them three shoulder surgeries Rod B had, no, it's dang it. Right now, I can't even throw a football like,
the way you want to.
I got to go Rich Gannon. I'm sidearming that thing. All right, let's get to Tom Brady. Who, you know, he doesn't sidearm it.
No.
Right now, Tom Brady is going through it, obviously, in more than one way. We'll get to the story from TMZ, and we'll be talking about it all throughout the day. Obviously, it is a big story that he and Giselle, and they announced it via their social media platforms that the divorce is final. It's done.
Yep.
Split.
Spitzblil.
I mean, it was coming. There was a report yesterday that was an ultimatum given. Remember Us
Weekly
put out there? There was an ultimatum given that, hey, man, it's either your family or football. You can't have both.
You can't. You got to pick one.
And Tom Brady chose.
Hey. And now he's sitting over here talking about it was amicable.
Hey, you know what I mean? You know, hey, like I said, Tom Brady, hey, his first love, like my first love, is football.
Yep.
I mean, my wife found me after my playing days. If I was playing or coaching, she'd have to share me with the game. That's just a reality.
Yeah.
And she would know that. And that's why when I asked her, I said, "You want to be a coach's wife?" She was like, "Hell no. I don't want to be a coach's wife."
So that explains everything, because everybody's been texting you on the Specs text line. By the way, we're not going to be able to see what's on the Specs text line. Hit us up on our social media pages. But that is why people keep saying, "Rod, you need to be coaching. Rod, why aren't you coaching?"
Well, that kind of
has something to
do with
it.
That's one of the reasons. We had that coach. See, basically, if I saw coaching, me and my wife would be having the same issue that Giselle and Tom Brady are having right now. That we had this talk already.
Yeah, you have to charge it to the game.
We came to an understanding that, no, we're not going to really get into coaching because that's going to be a crazy, wild life that we just don't really live. And if I do jump into it, I must expect that wifey might have to do what she got to do. And I'm gonna be, I ain't Tom Brady, though.
Right. Hey, I was going to say.
$1 million.
Them numbers look a little different, right?
And potential Hollywood starlets to cushion my fall from grace. First of all, who's Tom Brady going to date now? Who we say? Are we going Hollywood? Or are we going socialite? Or is he just going to go no name, somebody nobody knows? What's Tom Brady going to do? Because
Well, you know what Tom Brady's
He was with the Hollywood starlet initially. Then he upgraded to supermodel. So he's always with a woman who is kind of known and top notch.
He's probably going to get a TikTok influencer.
No way. Tom's not going there.
Come on, man. Some of them make bank.
He wants to be a part of a power couple. Okay, how about this? Does he date somebody his own age?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That is just sick. No. What would you, no chance?
Not even close. Unless it's the lady, uh-oh, Steve Jobs' ex-wife. Not Steve Jobs. Bezos. Bezos'
McKinsey?
Ex-wife. It's got to be Bezos'
ex-wife. Got McKinsey?
Because she got that paper.
She does have that paper.
She's got that paper.
And she's not that much. She's not that old.
No, we went through this.
We went through this, yeah. Hey,
52.
Dude, that would be
a 45.
That would be a move. That's a move.
Power move.
But if you want to make your ex jealous, that's not necessarily the move.
Well, are we looking to do that? Or are we looking for somebody? Are we looking for somebody that understands, I want to play football, but I can't give up this lifestyle?
Well, whoever it is, they understand that now. I mean, he gave up his family. I mean, his kids got to play Madden to see him. I kid.
Oh, that was money right
there. I just kid.
Hey,
I kid, Tom
Patrick,
Brady.
Make that a drop.
No. I kid, Tom Brady. I'm joking, obviously. I'm sorry that he's going through this. All right, let's talk about Tom Brady and his he actually wasn't terrible last night, but there were some throws that he missed.
Oh, my goodness.
He just, yes. Obvious throw. Mike Evans, he missed him wide open in the end zone.
Yep.
Maybe a couple of times, actually. Misfired to Kyle Rudolph, I think, once in the end zone. But, yeah, I mean, he was 26 of 44, 325 yards, one touchdown. But the truth is that team now is in disarray. For the first time since Tom Brady's been a pro, and for the first time since 1998, Tom Brady quarterback team is multiple games below 500.
Yeah.
Got to go back to his Michigan days.
What you said it perfectly. It was when Rod B was in his prime.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
No, really, that's
crazy. I mean, that's when you start looking at it. And we were talking about it throughout the week. What would it be like if he was 0-3? Well, we know.
We know now.
We know what his three-game losing streak is because he had to take an L with Giselle, too. So you had four. He was 0-4 because the paperwork came out yesterday.
There you go. Good job.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're going hard on Tom Brady right now.
But it is what it is.
It is what it is, man. We apologize, Tom.
Yeah, sorry, Tom.
Still the GOAT.
You are the GOAT.
Still the GOAT, no doubt about it. Lamar Jackson, though, I mean, every time he faced the GOAT, he seems to show up. And Lamar Jackson, his big issues were in the fourth quarter, especially. Remember I told you yesterday that four of his six interceptions came in the fourth quarter, that Baltimore had allowed, you know, a NFL worst, 856 yards in the fourth quarter, 10 touchdowns. All of their lost fumbles this year have been in the fourth quarter. They've been a horrible fourth quarter team. But in the second half of this game, Lamar Jackson was spectacular.
Yeah.
8 of 8. 94 pass yards, had 42 rush yards and 2 touchdowns, 155 pass rating. And here's the crazy thing. Baltimore tried to come out and strangely enough, I guess, break tendency versus Tampa Bay. Remember, their pass-to-run ratio was 32-7 in the first half.
Yeah.
And then the second half, they come out. First play was a 25-yard run off of a zone read for Lamar Jackson. Then they ran it 5 straight times on that drive. And then they – ended up kind of running away with it, or at least taking control of the game from that point on.
Yeah. This is one of those situations where I was thinking about what you said before you left yesterday about the differential in the first quarter.
Yeah.
About not scoring.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I know is 10-3.
Exactly.
In the first quarter.
Whoever I gave that stat, you were like, I'm going to bet the first quarter.
I was like, man, I'm all on this first quarter.
Nope.
And it's like, no,
yep.
No, but again, you like you said, it broke tendencies for some of the things that we were expecting from both of these teams. They went out and did some things that you sit there and you're like, okay, they're trying to make the adjustments. The one thing that I did keep talking about was the fact that these guys were never really catching the ball out of the backfield for him when he was trying to move the ball. Then you look at how his relationship with Mike Evans. That looked a little bit different this week. You see him walking off the field. He looked very disgruntled. And now, to be honest with you, we know why. We totally understand the reasoning why.
I'm with you. I think you're right.
It was so obvious that this guy was complaining about everything. Even when he slid and those guys were about to hit him, I thought for sure I thought for sure he was going to jump up and lose his mind and beg for a penalty. He was like, man, they ain't even hit me hard enough for me to beg for a penalty. I need to go home and look at my computer and see what the paperwork looked like after my divorce because it came out that fast. The dude looked like he was disheveled.
Yeah.
He looked like he was in disarray. When is the last time that – think about it. When you look at Tom Brady and what he's done, he has never been this disruptive. He's never been this disturbed. He's still keeping a good face when he walks out there and steps in front of the media. He sounds calm. He's given all the right answers. But look at him on the sideline. I've never seen him this disheveled, ever.
No, I agree with you. I mean, we just talked about it. The stats would back it up.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's never been at this low point, really, as a starting quarterback. That's why he's the GOAT.
Yep.
And now everybody wants to know how it's going to end.
Right.
Is this the way it ends for the GOAT, is he going to, you know, come back for another year? And if he does come back for another year, is it with the Bucks? Because and I'll say this, there's a good chance that now after this, because it's a long season, and I'm not saying that they're going to make a run, but they still, that division is not tough at all.
No, not at all. I mean, they still got a chance.
They still got a chance to win that division. If they win that division, that means they are going to end up being in the playoffs. And a Tom Brady in the postseason, I don't give a damn, divorced, married, you know, in a relationship, you know, whatever, friends with benefits, it don't matter.
Whatever you got.
He's going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
And they're going to be a lot healthier then. Bad news, though, for them. They lost Shaq Barrett, it looks like, for the season.
That's really bad news.
Guys left them in sacks two of the last 3 years, so that ain't good either. They look like they're in disarray. They got to do something. Yeah. And I still to this day say that Tom Brady – and now he doesn't have his life partner there with him.
Yep.
Right, so that's really tough for Tom Brady. But also for the first time, we've talked about this, and it's just kind of my theory about Tom Brady works. He doesn't have someone to challenge him professionally either.
Correct.
That was Bill Belichick.
Correct.
And it was Bruce Arians when he got here. And he's been successful with someone with a healthy amount of checks and balances around him.
Yeah.
Especially those who want to challenge him. That's why Belichick drafted a lot of quarterbacks behind Tom Brady. It brought out the best. Hell, even Lloyd Carr understood Tom Brady is best when he's challenged, when he believes that his job is constantly on the line. And now that he's got this level of comfort, but he doesn't have, like I said, that counsel at home.
Right, right.
Or that counsel of sorts, if you will, with someone to challenge him professionally, I think he's struggling a little bit to kind of find himself and figure out who he is right now.
It's almost that
– as a football player,
it's that double-edged sword because, remember, she would also be the one – and I know I can't believe we're continuing to talk about this, but she would also be the one that would talk to him about some of the things that she saw during the game. Now, he is really on the side. Because, remember, she wanted to fight Wes Welker because he wasn't running the right route in one of the Super Bowls. She was always at the front defending him and making sure that everybody understands, no, Tom is working his butt off. But now he's also dealing with the fact that Bruce Arians and no longer Bill Belichick are the ones that are saying, hey, man, this is how you need to focus. And I appreciate the fact of what you said yesterday, because it made 100% sense, was he needs confrontation against him.
Yeah, it brings out the best in his competitive sickness.
In him.
It does.
Yeah.
He hates it, though. He does not like it.
Right.
But it's best for him.
But it's the best.
Yeah.
And everybody understood their role with it.
Yep.
I love the fact of what you said about Bill Belichick drafting other people. He's like, man, I was a 6th-round pick and I've made it. And now you are looking for my replacement? Let me go out here and throw 45 touchdowns this year. 50 touchdowns.
Let me show you.
Let me go out here and show you how this works. Those are the things that I think – And maybe he turns it around. Maybe Byron Leftwich finally says, I need to fight this dude. Not physically, but really go in there and say, hey,
challenge
man. Challenge him and say, man, you're supposed to be the GOAT. And right now you're looking like a lamb because this team is not succeeding. But the fact of the matter is that division is so bad, you have an opportunity to win it. Everybody talked about the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Giants each going to a Super Bowl or making the playoffs with a below 500 record. Remember, 1 year it was 7-9, won that division. This may be that type of division where they can make the playoffs at 7-9, be dangerous, and go after people. Does this divorce help him in the grand scheme of things? Because now he doesn't have to think about it anymore? Maybe. Does this create him more focus? Good. Is this the diversion that he needed to create that drive and that passion that he was missing for a while? Yeah, I think it might be.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be enough to get them to get them like to a Super Bowl or anything like that. But I'm with you. Tom Brady usually turns something that's considered adversity. He turns that obstacle into something positive. That's why he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
All right, my friends at my bookie always turn something negative into a positive too, and they can turn right now a lot of your bets into straight cash, homie. They invite you to secure the bag with their new unique money bag betting feature. They have the money bag is one of a kind opportunity to spin crazy odds on props and futures. You can place your bet, spin the wheel, and get ready to score epic odds on the best teams, athletes, and events. For example, if you choose to bet on the Super Bowl 57 winner money bag, you bet $10 and you're randomly selected to have the Bills, let's say that as your team. And if the Bills win, you can win $240. MyBookie has the biggest online selection of odds, prop bets, and contests to fill all of your sports betting needs anytime, anywhere. Will Dak Prescott throw for more than 220 yards? Will Micah Parsons have another sack this weekend? You can build your own prop bets at MyBookie.com. Sign up at MyBookie.com, use the promo code HORN, H-O-R-N, and claim your 50% deposit match, any amount, up to $1,000. Again, that's the promo code HORN, H-O-R-N, to claim your bonus. Bet anything, bet anytime, and bet anywhere. As long as you're betting with MyBookie, you're betting with the best. All right, Hutch, let's switch it up a little bit. And I will say this, the Ravens, man, the Ravens could end up real quickly, though, I'll say this before we move on, as a 12-win team.
Oh, yeah.
Because the rest of their schedule, Hutch.
Looks great.
Cupcake.
Yes.
They got at basically all these teams are close to 500. And you're talking about New Orleans, they got Carolina, Jacksonville, then Denver. All those teams are 2-5. Pittsburgh's 2-5. They got at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland. That's 2-5. They got Atlanta 3-4.
Yep.
They got Pittsburgh again.
Hey, Atlanta, that's leading the division if they win this week.
Right? And then they got Cincinnati. That's a tough one. But Cincinnati just lost Jamar Chase.
Yep.
I guess by then he could be close to coming back. But still, I mean, that schedule's setting up real nicely.
Yeah. It sits good for them.
Yeah, it does.
And remember, we were talking about them yesterday, too. It's like, is this the crossroads game for them?
Yeah, could
is
be.
Is this it? Was this the – they needed to get this W – to propel themselves to the next level. I saw people getting upset, and, you know, Lamar after the game, he's holding up the sign. Somebody wrote out, pay him and make sure that he's taken care of.
I saw that.
And then I saw some other people talk about, he's a running back playing quarterback. Okay, when do we get done with that? This is an MVP. This is a guy that leads his team. In the bottom line is how many games you win and lose, no matter how you do it.
Yeah.
That's the thing that really drives me nuts. It's like, why are we trying to make everybody be this type? We see Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert throws the ball most beautifully. Justin Herbert is a great all-time quarterback.
I really don't. I think people have had that opinion because I still remember when, was it? And it was, I forget who it was. I don't want to say it was the wrong person because then I'll basically be disparaging.
But if you describe it, I might have it.
Remember when Lamar Jackson was first drafted and they said basically they should move him to wide receiver?
Yeah.
He'll move to wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the GM's name, but it old school respected GM that said that. And a lot of guys felt like that. I feel like that opinion now is considered an ignorant opinion.
Yes.
And if you have that opinion about him being a running back, playing quarterback, then, you know, honestly, as a football theorist, I would say it's an ignorant opinion. I'm calling you ignorant, but an ignorant opinion.
Your and even thoughts that, and processes.
Well, and even that GM came out and apologized. And was I was wrong about that. So if somebody's saying that, then they're not a sophisticated enough football fan to really understand what's going on. But anyway, let's get to Sam Ehlinger because he's got a big game coming up this weekend Washington. And his first start of the season, he has been announced as QB1 for the Indianapolis Colts, mostly because Matt Ryan has an injury. But also Matt Ryan was melting down. He led the NFL in interceptions at the time with 9. He had the most sacks with 24. He had the most fumbles as well. I mean, he was just an absolute nightmare for them. And it was not the Matt Ryan of old. So they're going to give Sam Ehlinger the keys to the offense as QB1. Do you think he gets the win against the Washington Commanders? Because right now I think it's – There's a chance.
There's a 50-50 chance.
Pretty much. And the reason I say that is because I know they're going to build this offense around Sam's legs.
Uh-huh.
They're going to let him. And right now, that's the trend in the NFL, right? Remember I told you guys that Jalen Hurts, you know, when you're talking about him on the design runs, we just talked about Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Justin Fields, hell, even Daniel Jones, because Brian Daboll really encourages Daniel Jones to run a lot. Prior to him being there, he didn't run as much. Now he runs a ton. And we all know Josh Allen is one of those guys, too. The NFL now is starting to become a little bit more enlightened about different types of skill sets at the quarterback position. I'm not saying Sam Ellinger's got a big NFL-sized arm or anything like that, but you can still build an offensive game plan around his strengths. And one of his key strengths is his legs. And at Texas, he probably scrambled more at Texas than any other quarterback in college football. And he had the most scramble attempts in the Big 12 in 2019. He had the fourth most yards per scramble in the Big 12 then. He abandoned the pocket a lot, as we know, as a matter of fact, he abandoned the clean pocket more than any quarterback in college football in 2019. He doesn't do that as much because he's a little bit more disciplined. But I wouldn't be surprised if Sam Ellinger made a lot of plays with his legs and they designed a lot of plays around his legs.
Well, here's the biggest thing that I want to continue to talk about. The bottom line is, how did you get the win? Did you win or did you lose? I don't care how you got there. You got there for the dub. Yes, everybody wants the traditional drop back, get back there and sling it around. But like you said, the game has become more mobile. The game has gotten to the point where the reason why, real talk, not just necessarily because he threw interceptions or he fumbled the ball so much, the reason why Matt Ryan's not the starting quarterback anymore is because he can't move. And their line is not one of the best lines in the league, so let's go give Sam an opportunity because, as you said, he led college out of getting out of the pocket.
He's a really good scramble. And Jalen Hurts is that, too. Jalen Hurts is third in the NFL.
6-0, by the way.
In scramble rate. Daniel Jones is second.
6-1.
Ahead of Jalen Hurts in scramble rate at 12% of his runs right now. Sorry, his dropbacks turning into scrambles. It's just right now the NFL is a little smarter about encouraging their quarterbacks to run. And you're right about Matt Ryan. I mean, he was the most sacked quarterback, too, when he was benched. 33% pressure rate on his dropbacks. Sam's going to be pressured on that much, too, but he's going to make a different decision. And one of those decisions will be that to just get the hell out of Dodge.
Run!
And go make a damn play.
Go make a play.
So I'm betting on Sam. Yeah. I'll say Sam gets the dub, especially coming off a preseason where he had an amazing preseason.
My parlay says Sam gets the dub.
Yeah, he had an 82% completion percentage, 289 yards, 4 touchdowns. Had a really good preseason, so we'll see if it carries over for my man Sam. All right, we come back. We got to get into some World Series talk. So we'll preview Astros, Phillies on the other side. We're live from Golffinity. It's a great location. Come out here. We'll give you some more details about it. Fantastic spot. We'll be out here all day long. Rest of the show till 6:30.
That works.
After that, we're probably going to hang out a little bit, too. We will be out here kicking. It's a great spot. We'll tell you a little bit more about it on the other side right here. This is Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie on a 5-1-2 Friday. Patrick's always giving us the love on the local artists and where they're going to be seen this weekend. Patrick, who is this?
This is Ringo Death Star, and they are playing Saturday at the Parish. And for anybody who's asked, I know a couple times I've been out, people have been asking for me to put up all the songs we play. Everything is going to be up on hornfm.com of all the songs we play and where these bands are playing up at hornfm.com.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I was glad to hear that. That's good that people came up to you and asked that, because it is so cool. Like you said, when we go out places, people are like, hey, man, Patrick's always playing this cool music, but I never know, after you guys have already gone through it, I never know where those guys are playing. So that's good stuff right there, Patrick.
Yes, check out. Got music videos up there to some of these bands. So it's a cool way to check out some bands here in town.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
All right, let's get to a discussion about the Astros and their matchup versus the Phillies tonight. I think the first pitch is around 7:05.
7:03. 7:03. Every pitch this World Series, they say, is going to be at 7:03.
I like that.
Yeah.
Be punctual.
Yeah.
All right, the Astros, this is one of the weird things. They won 19 more games than the Phillies. Mm-hmm. Second largest World Series matchup win disparity of all time. There are a lot of people that are, I'll just say, they are very bullish on the Astros in this series. Harge, how
– scares you, right?
it's a little bit just because it seems like I can't find anybody giving me the great side, the great take, if you will, from the Phillies' point of view as to how they can pull the upset over the Astros. Most people believe that they can stretch it out at most.
Yep.
Maybe to seven games, but that the Astros are going to end up winning the series. I'll take the Astros in six. That's just that's my random prediction throwing out there because I do think the Astros pitching staff over time will overwhelm the Phillies. But I am worried about tonight because Aaron Nola is a monster. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a beast. And last time that he pitched against the Astros in – H-Town, 6 2/3 perfect innings before he allowed, I think, a couple of hits.
You just said
perfect. Oh, no, he was in the zone, man.
He was dialed.
He was in the zone.
Yes.
And he's 2-1 in the playoffs. I think he's got like a 3.1 ERA. He did have an off performance. What was that, in ELCS?
Yes.
Yeah, he did. San Diego.
They got to him.
They got to him so bad, they thought he was tipping pitches. And they said
I
he wasn't.
They got it. I hope they got it.
They said he wasn't, though. Yeah. They researched it and said he wasn't tipping pitches. They were just – they was on him.
Yeah.
They was on that fastball, man.
I heard a story this morning from Tim Kirchen. No. Excuse me. Buster Olney.
Okay.
Buster Olney was talking about Aaron Nola and how effective his breaking ball was. Well, the one thing about his breaking ball, and a lot of people don't understand this, is the Astros like it when you throw breaking balls. Mm. They like hitting your breaking ball more than they like hitting your fastball because they have that timing down for the breaking ball and understanding how the pitch selection goes. So Buster was saying he needs to focus on his fastball a little bit more. And those are some of the nuances of the game that normally me, I'm sitting there like, bring that heat. I want all the heat. Bring me all the smoke.
He did. That's what he used last time, I think, a lot against
the outside, on the outer third. He was staying away from everybody. If he tries to come inside, this could be a bad, bad look. And, again, I know that the Phillies are playing with house money, so to speak.
I agree with that.
Because a lot of people didn't expect them to be.
Nobody did.
They had a lot
of. Beating the Astros was how they got to wild card,
right? That's how they got into it.
That's the last team to beat the Astros in October.
Yes. So you sit there and you're looking at how everything goes about, and I continue to believe – that when you watch this team, both teams, watch the bats at bats in the first three innings of the game. The first three innings will dictate a lot. It'll let number one, it'll let you know if Verlander is hot as far as locating his pitches. And number two, it changes the way a lot of these guys are starting to approach their at bats as well.
Interesting.
So it's a huge momentum swing. The Astros, obviously, the roof is going to be closed. It's going to be loud. Our man Ike is there. He took his son there, so he's all excited about it. But you get to this situation very few times in your life. Astros have been there quite a few times. The Phillies have been there a few times. I heard Craig Way and Keith Moreland.
Big Red, man.
Big Red said he was a pinch hitter in the last time that they faced each other in the
tennis. 25 or something like that.
Getting into the game, getting that pinch hit, and getting himself a knock. I expected him to get a knock. You know what I'm saying? That's how Big Red worked.
No doubt.
And guess where he said he hit it to? Opposite field. I ain't gonna let it go, dog. Let it go. Pay attention to the success stories. Go the other way. So I'm excited for this series. I know that a lot of Astro fans, I know that a lot of Phillies fans, they're all gassed up about it. And this is one of those, we can shock the world. And I'm not gonna say it's a David versus Goliath, but you brought up the numbers about the differential on the wins and the losses and how they all got there. And I know people were hitting me up yesterday, Rod. They were saying, man, you keep talking about how hot the Phillies are. Don't forget the Astros are 10-0 and all that. But it's different. Everybody expected the Astros to be in this situation.
Nobody's shocked by them sweeping
their
way to
the World Series. Chipper Jones came on our show and said the Astros were going to be the team to beat. For the Phillies to get there, that's a bigger story.
Agreed.
And here's the other thing, too, that I was thinking about. When you look at Bryce Harper and his rise to fame from a young kid, we all knew he was going to be talented. He was like LeBron, the chosen one. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was still in high school. Mm-hmm. He graduated early because people that he was playing against weren't pitching to him.
Yeah.
He graduated early, went to a JUCO. The JUCO pitchers, college guys, weren't pitching to him. Hmm. Then he works his way through the major leagues and minor leagues and get to the major leagues. And now he's on the biggest stage again.
Again.
And now people are looking at him and saying, man, this dude is dialed in, locked in, and ready to go. Not very many people can walk that walk in that long with all that pressure on them throughout their career. And he continues to find a way to do so.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. He's been huge for him, batting 419 right now in the playoffs with six doubles. Him and Schwarber have basically been out of sight right now. He's batting 368, I believe, right now in the playoffs. But the Astros, I mean, they got a lot of guys they can throw out there, too, that have had magnificent postseason so far. Jeremy Pena, your boy.
My man, Pena.
You were talking about Pena before the season even started, that he was going to show up, and I think he might have exceeded even your expectations.
He did.
But you've been bragging about him. 353, he's batting right now in the postseason. Bregman's having a hell of a postseason, batting 333. So, I mean, they got a lot of guys. Yuli. Yep. I mean, Yuli's been great. 367 in the playoffs. Yeah, so they got a lot. I mean, you talk about both teams, they got some hot bats coming into this matchup. That's why I think the pitching will be, I think it always is, the difference. And it'll be Aaron Nola versus Verlander. Verlander, that stat that everybody keeps reflecting on, and you can't stop thinking about it. You can't stop bringing it up.
You can't. I mean, it's the elephant in the room, right?
He's 0-6.
Yeah. In seven starts.
In World Series starts.
Yeah.
5.68 ERA.
So when you look at him and look, he's got the third worst ERA in World Series with a minimum of 5 World Series starts. Don Newcomb had an ERA of 8.5. Carl Erkson had one of 5.83. Mm. Justin Verlander at 5.68. Don Sutton had one of 5.26. And Hank Howery had one of 4.97. Teams have lost 6 of his last 7 starts.
And the Astros, I don't think they've ever won a game 1 in the World Series, have they?
The tide shall turn. Today is the day.
Today is the day.
We exercise those demons today.
Amen, brother. And this is why, even if Verlander, let's say, just has a below average performance. Just a below average.
What would be the below average, though? Well, how many runs would be that?
If he below average for him, 4.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
If he gives up 4.
If he gives up 4, it's not, it's not, take the over.
Huh?
Take the over. If he's giving up 4, well, take the over.
I don't think he. I'm just
no,
saying.
I
like,
know, but
let's just
you're
say.
Right.
Let's this just is... say based on the stat that he has a subpar performance, right? Of whatever it may be. If you consider that to be him giving up 5 runs or whatever, he gives up more than 5. It's a meltdown, right?
Yeah,
that's meltdown. That's meltdown. Okay.
And what is Dusty doing over there? That's gonna be the other part.
Yeah, and it goes back to what Patrick said too yesterday, and I totally agree. If it happens in one inning, like if you give up, you know, if he gives up 3-4 runs over, you know, 7 innings, then
that's different.
It's different.
Yeah.
But if you got just a disastrous 3rd inning, then it's like, we got to stop the bleeding on this one. So I'm just throwing it out there.
Patrick, he ain't going to do no Odorizzi start, is he? He can't do an Odorizzi start.
No, it won't be that bad. But I'm just saying, obviously, the stat is the stat.
Yeah.
The Houston relievers have been so good this postseason that as long as you act swiftly enough to be able to mitigate any damage done by a starter.
I agree with that.
You should be fine.
I agree with that.
Houston relievers have allowed, 3 runs all postseason? All solo home runs.
Right. And that's the other part about it. You remember, they went, what, 17, 15, 16 innings that one time? Didn't give up a run. They're deep. They're deep, man.
They've allowed 14 hits, that's all. They got 42 strikeouts in the 33 playoff innings. That's the saving grace, that even if Verlander tracks with his previous World Series starts, if Dusty, who has – I think been pretty good in the postseason, making decisions, small ones that ended up making big impacts. No, that'll be big.
I like it. Yeah, I like it.
Okay, let's. You giving your World Series prediction later?
Not
on?
Yet. I'll give it a little bit later.
All right.
Yeah, we'll wait before we get off the air.
All right.
Because they don't first pitch ain't till 7:03.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're building up drama like it's gonna be something.
I'm like TNT, baby. There's drama.
You're gonna be building up some drama. I'm like, oh, he's gonna be picking the Phillies in this thing. We'll
see. Yeah.
All right. So my heart's gonna make his World Series prediction a little bit later on the show. I already gave you mine. I'm picking the Astros in six.
Six.
Go Astros.
Okay, I got you.
I think six. And Gene Watson said. Said he Astros did. In five or six.
Or six,
he
yeah. He gave himself an out.
Gave himself an out.
Yeah, I ain't mad at him.
Man, if they get it in five, hell, you might as well just try to sweep your way through then.
Ain't nothing like a party.
Just sweep your way through the whole damn thing if you're going to beat them in five.
Hey,
that's how I feel. But like I said, the game one is crucial, and Astros haven't won a game one in the World Series. So we'll see about that. All right, come back. We'll get into the flex on the other side. We got to talk about LBJ. That is a big topic of discussion. They are putting up basketball numbers in some high school football games. Also, we'll talk about the high school football games tonight. We'll give you some of the updates on the flex content up there and talk about some of the great matchups in high school football action right here in Central Texas. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to The Horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
Through sunset lights, splendor.
Welcome back. The Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. We are looking live from Golffinity, ladies and gentlemen. And I got to tell you, I've never loved any golf-affiliated, golf-associated place as much as I do Golffinity. You have a good time, and you don't even have to know a damn thing about golf or even have to play. Got a bar for you. They actually host events here, too, by the way.
Yes, very much so.
They got a great – apparently it's a huge – big screen.
Yes.
Oh, like a movie theater setup screen.
They're actually hosting UFC fights tomorrow night.
There you go. No. I haven't seen
not
that
actually
yet.
People coming in to fight.
Yeah.
But to watch the UFC
fights. They could do that too. It's big enough. They could have some fights in there too. 512 Friday. We play jams from local bands and artists that you can hear right here in the ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is Malice and Eden. They are playing Saturday at Anderson Mill Pub.
It's right down the road from where we are right now.
Look at this guy.
It's literally right down the road from where we are now.
Might be there. Did you do that on purpose, Patrick? Did you do that because it was close to Golffinity? Man, that's my man, Patrick's always.
Right
he's
there.
He's the real MVP, man. Let's get into some of these high school football scores from last night. Most notably, Harge, and a shout-out to our Flex crew, FLXATX.com. Go check that out, FLXATX, on all of your social media platforms. The crew is working hard. I saw Snoop on TV this morning. We're hanging out.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Snoop working hard. Go. So J.J. Dunn, of course, my man Derek Cohen working hard. Zach Lucero, heard him last night on that broadcast with my man Craig Way, Keith Moreland on the call. So shout-out to them. LBJ beat Eastside Early College 96-0.
Yeah.
And Harris, you sent us an update during the third quarter.
Yes.
Like early third quarter.
Early, like right after halftime. I looked at that number and I sent that to y'all and I was like, man, this is back to back to back to back weeks that they had. Remember, for a while, they didn't even get a chance to play.
Yeah.
Because of the teams that they were about to play were dealing with some issues, whether it was health issues or maybe even not enough player issues. And that's one of the things. Like, I saw a lot of people that were upset. I don't even know the words.
People were upset about it.
I don't even have the words to talk about how this score is and I'm like, y'all don't really understand.
Well, I heard on the Tower that they weren't punting.
They didn't punt at all. They didn't have a punter.
So they weren't. So you got to think about that. They don't punt, guys. They're just giving up the ball.
Short field.
In their own territory.
Yes.
Craig Way told me that the worst starting field position for LBJ, I believe, was the 33.
Yes. So you're already in scoring position.
They're 33.
Yes. So you can't get mad. Because here's
crazy.
The deal. And
that's insane.
As I was growing up and my kids were growing up.
I'm sorry, 37. It was the East Side 37 was the worst starting field position for LBJ.
And I'm glad that Craig and Keith Moreland had an opportunity to explain that today, because I'm sure they were getting a lot of stuff that was like, man, they should have done this, they should have done that. When
they were
they got freshmen.
Yeah.
That are on the team. And as a freshman, and I got a chance to shine, I'm not taking a knee.
Yeah, and I did, and I think Derek just told me that Eastside early college had like 22 players, period.
Right.
On the entire – available to play. And that's not including the guys who actually – because, listen, every school's got a certain number of players that are out there suited up.
Oh, for sure.
That don't mean they're all suited to play.
Just because
you're suited up don't mean you're suited to play.
You were part of the practice squad at one point.
We're not wrong. That just takes everybody's on a different developmental track. That's all.
Yes.
And again,
when you have freshmen out there, they're not going to be ready to play at that level.
Craig Way said they had a second-half running clock.
Yes.
And that LBJ had certain possessions where they just kneeled it down.
Exactly.
Just kneeled it and then punted it.
But again,
so they
it's
doing,
not LBJ's
no,
job
no, it's, but
to
still,
make
yeah.
sure.
It's just
because
a
if I hand the ball off, that means I'm not throwing it.
Yeah,
that
no,
means if I could break a tackle, I'm trying to score too.
It's unfortunate all the way around. It's a bad situation for everybody. It's bad for LBJ because they need to be challenged because they want to play.
They want to get ready
they're trying
for
to
the
win,
playoffs.
They're trying to win a championship.
Yes.
They want to play for a championship. It's bad for Eastside because Eastside's not a position to compete at all at this level.
And it's bad for Lhasa. It's bad for all the other teams that they played before that.
Agreed.
And it's just the way that the numbers are drawn up. And
it's unfortunate.
And again, let's just say all that stuff happened in the first half. Because remember, when I sent you the text, it was like 82-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not punting, my average starting position is in your 37. My best player, Cedric Alexander, who is going for a city record.
Told you he wouldn't get it this week.
And you were 100% right. But he broke the touchdown record.
He did. But, even his coach said, he basically hinted that he wouldn't let him break it this
right.
week.
Right. He's like, nah, man, because I know what's going
nope,
on.
Exactly.
But you put me in a bad position because of the fact you're not even trying to punt. You don't
they
have
can't
a punter.
Punt. I don't think they could. I really think that punting
today. You got a kickoff guy. You got a guy kicking off. Let him punt.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can say it's bad either way around. I mean,
it's a very unfortunate situation.
I feel bad for everybody involved. I feel bad for LBJ. I feel bad for Eastside Early College too, because LBJ, they basically are getting. I mean, they're getting hard at work at practice.
Yeah,
they might as well just scrimmage with themselves.
Well, I mean,
they
what
can
it
get better
too. Think about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they scrimmage with themselves, they get more work in.
Yeah,
that's a wasted opportunity for them. But of course, Eastside Early College, it's not a proper way to develop a football program to get smashed.
Well, like you said, you only got 22 people coming out.
I don't know, you got more people in the band and in cheerleading than you do on
maybe,
the squad.
Well, it might have been a solo artist out there singing. they might have just heard the drums or whatever. But then you also look at it too, and this is no disrespect to anybody that's involved in it. You can't. My older son Michael had played in a game. In a basketball game where everybody on the other team ended up being D1 kids. This was at 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was D1. Or some of them are playing in the NBA right now. We had a running clock. Those kids were still scoring like 96 points. And this was 5 pass minimum before they could score. And they were still getting it run up.
Yeah.
So you either say, I'm tired of being part of this, so I'm going to get better myself. And I know this is on the varsity level and this is a totally different situation. But you got to remember, too, that school, Eastside Early College, had just come back to become a school. So they're moving kids around that may not have wanted to play football. Coaches are walking in the hallway talking about, hey, guys, come out and play football. This is your opportunity. Do something constructive. But if a coach isn't going to punt, that's not my problem.
Yeah, no, it is. Like I said, it's just unfortunate either way around.
It's awful.
All right, go to FLXATX.com. Go to FLXATX on all your social media platforms. They can keep you up to speed on everything happening right now. These guys doing a really good job over there giving you all the content. They got their Flex 5 Week 10 picks.
Uh-huh.
They also got a great updates and content about the local volleyball season as well.
Yep.
From around here in Central Texas. So volleyball, football season, lots of content at FLXATX.com.
Before we go real quick. Shout out to Westlake, who beat Bowie 45-0. Georgetown continued their trek. They're continuing to play some good football. They beat Glenn yesterday 28-22. Aikens lost to Buda Johnson 61-7. McCallum beat Travis 55-13. Canyon, Corpus Christi Canyon, our man Mike Adams. Mike Adams' son is out there. Not Corpus Christi Canyon, I'm sorry. New Braunfels Canyon won 43-14, and Harker Heights beat Temple 13-9.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get into some NFL discussion. We'll talk Cowboys on the other side. We'll give you a preview of the Cowboys and the Bears. Also, Texans. We'll talk about that and other NFL news, notes, and nuggets with the trade deadline approaching. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.